Tonight we're going to learn how you and I can glorify God. How appropriate that song was that Mark ended with. I mean, that brings glory. That's just singing about God's glory, how great He is. But tonight we're going to learn how, and we've already been touching on that as we went through 13 and 14 also. So let me read Romans 15, 1 through 6. Now we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength and not just please ourselves. Each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our instruction, so that through perseverance and the encouragement of the Scripture, we might have hope. Now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. And that's where we're going to stop right now on verse 6. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, Father, to learn from your word, to learn especially, Lord, how we are to glorify you. You were glorified in our Lord Jesus Christ. There's no doubt of who he is. He is your son, and we love him, and he has saved us from ourselves and from this unjust world. So, Father, teach us tonight as we go through these scriptures, and learn more about you and what you expect from us, especially our attitudes. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, in verses 1 through 6, Paul writes to us about our attitudes, if you notice that. And that's what we're going to be touching on tonight, is our attitudes. But first, let's go back just a little bit. We're going to go look at three principles and three issues, all helping us to get along with one another in the body of Christ. So let's go back. Let's go back to chapter 14. If you'll remember, just a couple of weeks ago, we went through this. 14, 1 through 12, we're instructed not to judge one another anymore. That's a principle. Now the issue, this is accountability to God. And that's found in verses 14. In 14, 1 through 12. So the principle is not to judge, but the issue is accountability to God. So another is don't cause another brother to stumble. That's found in 14, 13 through 23. So the principle is stumble, and the issue is love. The issue is love of one another. So we would not cause a brother to stumble or a sister. So in 15, 1 through 13, the principle is not to please ourselves or yourselves. The issue here is unity in order to glorify God. And we have to be unified as the body of Christ. Well, I mean, we can't be just haphazard as here and there and we're patting ourselves on the back. Look what I did, this type of thing. We're all in unity and wanting the same things. And that's what we're going to look at tonight. So the issue here is unity in order to glorify God. So let's look at like-mindedness in our attitudes. In verses 15, 1 through 6, Paul is directing to us and talking about our attitudes and the way that we do things. And at all costs, we want to give glory to God in everything. So go to 1 Corinthians 9. 19 through 27, we will see Paul's attitude, his example that he gives. So 1 Corinthians 9, and you guys will remember this. Paul writes, For though I am free from all men, I have made myself a slave to all, so that I may win more. To the Jews I became as a Jew, so that I might win Jews. To those who are under the law, as under the law, through not though not be being myself under the law, so that I might win those who are under the law. To those who are without law, as without law, though not being without the law of God, but under the law of Christ, so that I might win those who are without law. To the weak, I became weak, that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men, so that I may by all means save some. All things for the sake of the gospel, so that I might become a fellow partaker of it. Do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but only one receives the prize? One, run in such a way that you may win. Everyone who competes in the games exercises self-control in all things. They then do it to receive a perishable wreath, but we an imperishable. Therefore, I run in such a way as without aim. I box in such a way as not beating the air, but I discipline my body and make it my slave, so that after I have preached to others, I myself will not be disqualified. So here we see Paul's attitude in like-mindedness with Christ, with Jesus, and that's the way we're supposed to be this way too. Is there any questions in this right here that we just read in 1 Corinthians? Everybody has a grasp of what Paul's. I mean, you can just see his character. You can see who he is. What he's made out of, what kind of salt he has. I mean, he didn't back off at all. That he's not under the law anymore. He's been saved just like you and I. He's born again. We're born again. We're not under the law anymore. And that's what he's talking about. But he does subject himself to the law to win those that are under the law. Okay, just to show the example that you know. That this is Jesus. This is Christ. This is the way he is. No, he is not. In verse 22, did you notice that? He says, to the weak, I became weak. Mm-hmm. So what Paul is doing here is he's restricting his liberty and becoming weak as those that are weak. And we're talking about those that, you know, normally it's the born again, the firstborn, who are weak in faith. And that's what he's talking about there. So he restricts himself in his strength and becomes weak. We'll get to that here in a minute. Galatians 6, 1 and 2 shows our attitude toward our brothers and sisters. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if anyone is caught in any trespass, you who are spiritual, restore such a one in a spirit of gentleness, each one looking to yourself, so that you too will not be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and therefore fulfill the law of Christ. This is how it's fulfilled. If we have a brother that we see, or a sister, would transgress be too strong? Transgress? Would that be too strong? Okay. They're in sin. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. Encourage them. Exactly right. Yeah. But notice it says we're to do it in a spirit of gentleness, you know, not to be the almighty Christian, you know, and walk up and thump them. You know, we don't do that. No, it's in a spirit of gentleness. Yeah. Yeah. And that's what he's talking about. If we do it that way, then we will be tempted also. We fall right into the same trap. So that's our attitude. You remember, we're gonna have struggles too. Remember what Paul, when he wrote in Romans 7:15, about how he struggled with things. We do the same thing. Go ahead and turn over there. Romans 7. Yeah, Romans 7:15. It's 15-25. Paul writes, "For what I am doing, I do not understand. For I am not practicing what I would like to do, but I am doing the very thing that I hate. But if I do the very thing I do not, but if I do the very thing I do not want to do, I agree with the law, confessing that the law is good." Okay? So now no longer am I the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that is, in my flesh. For the willing is present in me, but the doing of the good is not. For the good that I want, I do not do, but I practice the very evil that I do not want. But if I am doing the very thing I do not want, I am no longer the one doing it, but sin which dwells in me. I find then the principle that evil is present in me, the one who wants to do good. I'm taking a breath here. For I joyfully concur with the law of God in the inner man. But I see a different law in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin which is in my members. Wretched man that I am, who will set me free from the body of this death? Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then, on the one hand, I myself, with my mind, am serving the law of God, but on the other, with my flesh, the law of sin. Pretty powerful. We're going to struggle. We all are going to struggle up here between our ears is where it's going to happen, because the word is solid in our hearts. It's within us, and it's solid. But here's where we're going to be the problem. And the pastor's favorite verse, of course, is about renewing your mind. So let's go back. go back to Romans 15, in verse 1. Again, we're going to look at principles and issues. Okay. Now, we who are strong ought to bear the weakness of those without strength, and not just please ourselves. So we see that the principle here is to bear, okay, one another's burdens. Now, how can we do that? How can I, if I see a brother who is weak in a certain area in his faith, how can I support, how can I bear that? Do I take it upon myself to go up and put my arm around my brother and carry him through whatever it is he's going through in the weakness of his faith? Do I do that? You can, okay. But what happens if your brother or sister becomes dependent on that? He's waiting for you to continually do that for him. Are we not causing that brother to not grow in the spirit, not grow in his faith? That's so important. Yeah, you're right. And you hit it. It's prayer first.
Yes.
Yeah. Get a hold of your brothers. Pray down. Pray together. Get on your knees before the Lord. Pray first. Always pray first. Be devoted to it. So we notice that it's not just to please ourselves.
Correct.
There again, the man and woman that we are will rise up. Okay? And that's kind of a warning that Paul is giving us here, not to please ourselves. And that's also from the Lord. For we know that Jesus never did anything of his own initiative. He did everything. Go ahead, Jim. I'm glad you did. We do have to be careful, because you know as well as I do. We see a brother that we just rescued, or a sister that we just rescued, and they're doing great. And what happens? Throw the chest out. Look what I did. And it's not that way. And you pray and hope that your brother doesn't see that, the one you just helped, and that would cause a brother to stumble. So we have to be very careful of that. You could, yeah, you sure could. So anyway, the principle here is to bear up under, okay, your brothers, your sisters, to bear up under. And the issue is to fulfill the law of Christ. That's the issue. Now, there is a problem here. Did you notice that the problem? Yeah, there is a problem. Okay, look at it. It's not just to please ourselves. So there's a problem. We already kind of touched base on that. So there's a little bit of a problem here. It's not just to please ourselves. Look at 1 Corinthians 9:22. And that's, we were talking about weakness again. Remember Paul's weakness? He became weak so he can rescue the weak. We just read that. To the weak, I became weak that I might win the weak. I have become all things to all men so I may by all means save some. And then we just talked about that. Also go to Romans 5:8-8. So we have to become weak. Remember he's talking to us who are strong in our faith. There's a time when weakness is called for. Romans 8:5-8. For those who are according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, but those who are according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For the mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the Spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile towards God. For it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. So remember, Paul is writing to us who are strong, but we have to be aware that there is a problem that we could fall into, and we have to watch ourselves. Okay? Again, he's dealing with our attitude, all right, and being like-minded with Christ. Well, we know that Paul is referring in this first, in 15:1, Paul is actually referring to himself as being strong in the faith. Okay. So at certain times, he's going to have to become weak in his faith. Yeah. In a way, kind of a weak, so he can win those that are weak. Okay. Go over to 14:1. Remember? It says, now accept the one who is weak in faith, but not for the purpose of passing judgment on his opinions. The person himself, like Paul, made himself become that way. Correct. So he could win keep those. Yes. Yeah. Yes. So he allowed himself, and he, like he says, he just restricted his faith.
Right.
Okay? In other words, I look at it as he kind of set it aside just so he can understand what his brother's going through, and his brother can understand him when he's lifting up and building him up and encouraging him. Does that make sense? Go ahead, Jim. There comes a time in our faith that we should be able to move mountains. There has to. All right, let's go on to verse number 2. As each of us is to please his neighbor for his good, to his edification. So the principle here is edification of others, and the issue here is to glorify God in this. Yeah. So in the pleasing of our neighbors for his good, we want to build them up, build each and every one of them up in hope to see them become active in serving within the body of Christ. That's where we want to lift our brothers and sisters, those who are weak in their faith. We want to build them up so they can serve. And I had a teacher a long time ago. He said, I want to work myself out of a job being a teacher at the church. He said, so I'm going to work on you guys. One of you guys is going to take over. So, and that's what he worked on. So he wanted to work himself out of a job. He wanted to see the younger rise up and take over his position in the church. And that's what we want to do, too. We want to build each other up that way so we can see them serving in the church. I mean, it was phenomenal to see Herb. If you guys, it was. I can remember seeing Herb sitting in front of me, and he'd be kind of to the side, and I could see his lips moving, but I couldn't hear no voice coming out of him. You know, when we would sing songs. That was my first impression of Herb. And I knew he was born again. But to see him now, wow, that was fantastic. To see how the Lord worked in his life, and everything is going great. So that's what we want to do. Let's look at Romans 14:19. It's just back a few more verses here. So then, let us pursue the things which make for peace and the building up of one another. The building up of one another. Also in Ephesians 4:11-16. Turn over there, please. 4:11-16. You guys know this. This is where we want to see what we want to see take place. And he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers, for the equipping of the saints, for the work of service, to the building up of the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. Amen. As a result, I'm going to read 14 also. As a result, we are no longer to be children, tossed here and there by waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, by craftiness and deceitful scheming, but speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being filled and held together by what every joint supplies according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of body for the building up of itself in love. Isn't that just beautiful? Yeah. So that's what we want to see happen. We want to see our brothers and sisters. As my dad used to tell me, son, I want you to grow up and be greater than I am. I want you to be able to do things that I have not done. And he, that was his heart for me, to grow up and be better than him. Any questions so far in this? All right. Let's go to verse 3. For even Christ did not please himself, but as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. We see the greatest example of this in Jesus Christ. There's no other place that we can find this. No other human on earth has this capability. In 2 Corinthians 8:9, we read this. We talk about zeal. Okay? For you know the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you through his poverty might become rich. Amen. Yeah. We need to have that kind of zeal in us. I mean, just to lay it all aside and to say, Lord, here I am. I mean, yeah. It won, yeah. But I'm talking about here and now. Now. We can do it now. Yeah. Yeah, we don't have to wait. Yeah. All right, back to Romans. Go to verse 4. Now we see the purpose behind what is written. For whatever was written in earlier times was written for our what? Admonishing, instruction. Mine says instruction. So that through perseverance and the encouragement of the what? Scriptures, we might have hope. Yeah. So there we see it. So the purpose behind what is written is for our instructions, and it's through perseverance. And this is also the most important place the Scripture has within us. The Scriptures actually build us up. It really does. And everyone. And that's what the Scripture is designed to do. So it has an important place. So we have to let it, so we can glorify God. Let it dwell richly within us and let it come out richly so that God can be glorified through us. So the wonderful end result of the Scripture will fulfill that we might have hope. That's the fulfilling of it, the hope of all the Scriptures that has been written to us. It's going to be fulfilled within us. So let me read 5 and 6. We'll read those together. This is by the power of God's Word, so we can glorify Him. So 5 and 6 say, now may the God who gives perseverance and encouragement grant you to be of the same mind with one another according to Christ Jesus, so that with one accord you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So I know one of the worst things that I've ever seen, and I know pastors have said the same thing, was a church that was scattered. They were always there, always willing to do, but they were doing things their way, and their way, and their way, and their way. And the church got into programs, 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 programs. And there was no power in programs. The power is all here in what's written right here in the Word. I took the liberty of printing out the one another commands in the New Testament. you know, they all fall under the greatest command that Jesus, love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. But under that, we have these articles, is what I call them, the commands of the one another. So if you don't mind, I'll pass these out. And we might, Lord willing, we might start studying those. That's where I want to go, but we'll see what the Lord wants to do.